Welcome to Every Brand is Different, the podcast where we celebrate the unique world of neurodiversity. We are your hosts, Samantha Foote, a neurodivergent, board-certified music therapist and mom to three kids with ADHD and autism, and Lauren Ross, an ally to the neurodivergent community with over 10 years of experience supporting children and adults with autism. This podcast is for parents like you, navigating the world of neurodiversity with love and compassion. Together, we'll create a world where every brain is valued and celebrated. We're excited to embark on this enlightening journey with you. Welcome to the Every Brain is Different podcast. It is Samantha and Lauren here with you. And today we are talking about the power of play. So.
We don't play enough as an adult.
No, if you have kids, we don't.
There's no excuse why you're not playing.
Right? Except I don't like playing with my kids. Is that bad? Dopamine does not get me when I'm playing with my kids. Unless, like, we're playing a board game or we're outside doing something. But if they're just like, play Barbies with me, I'm like, no, I don't want to. And my daughter actually calls me out on it. She's like, Mom, you never play Barbies with me. And I'm like, I know. Let's play Barbies. But it's the best way for kids to learn is through play. And it is very underestimated how well kids learn through play. I can't even remember the statistic, but it is like a wild statistic about how if you just teach a kid to do something just normally, they do not get it nearly as quickly as they do with play. Yeah, if you do it through play, it's like crazy the amount of times that they get it quicker.
I think it's more hands-on too.
Yeah.
Helps.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's a learning style anyways. So
yeah, like you're doing it proprioceptively. I don't know if that's the word I want, but you're like, I think it's kinesthetically. I'm trying to use a big word right now. And
I think it's that one.
It's a kinesthetic learner, right? Where you learn through touch and all that. Yeah. So you're using like all the senses when you're playing too. Like you're looking at it, you're hearing it, you're touching it, like all that stuff. And so, yeah, there's some pretty cool neuroscience behind play. And we're not just talking about having fun with play. We're talking about building the brain. So play literally changes the brain structure and function, which I think is super cool. This is how kids learn. They learn through play. That's how they learn everything that they're going to learn when they're a kid. And so when children engage in play, their brains release dopamine. And dopamine is a neurotransmitter that helps with motivation, focus, and learning. Everything that people with ADHD don't have. So for kids with ADHD, obviously, dopamine is in short supply, which is why play can be such a powerful regulation tool because it's naturally rewarding and helps kids stay engaged long enough to build the new skills that they need to learn, which I think is super cool because it's fun for, I don't know, I think it's more fun to teach kids things through play than just like sitting them down and being like, you're going to learn this, you know?
They're more engaged, they're more happy, they're more excited about it.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes you feel better about whatever you're teaching to see the excitement about it.
Yeah. If you're teaching social skills and you just sit a kid down and be like, this is what you do when someone wants to take turns with you, that's dumb. But if you're playing,
let's play a game and practice taking turns.
Yeah, yeah. Play a game. Play with, I don't know, play with dolls or whatever and have them take turns doing stuff. Yeah, because play strengthens the neural connection between different parts of the brain, especially the prefrontal cortex, which, ding, 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 neurodivergent people have issues in their prefrontal cortex. So the prefrontal cortex is the area responsible for planning, impulse control, and flexible thinking. So when kids play pretend, they're practicing all of those executive functioning skills in a low-pressure, joyful environment. They don't realize that you're teaching them stuff. They just think that mom is playing with them.
Yeah.
So there's also a really big impact from play on emotional regulation. So during play, the brain releases endorphins and oxytocin, which are the connection chemicals. And these chemicals lower stress hormones like cortisol and help kids feel safe, connected, and calm. So when children feel safe and regulated, that's when they can learn different things. Pretend play also helps rewire the social brain. It gives kids a safe place to explore emotions, relationships, and problem solving without the unpredictability of real-world interactions. So, for example, I used to work with this kid who he would bring action figures to music therapy, and we would interact through those action figures. If I asked him something, I could not ask him something directly. He would just shut down. But if I asked the action figure something, then we were able to play with that and do the whole scenario through the action figure, and he could answer questions and all of that. It's just like with play therapy, when kids are in counseling, you can get so much more progress made when you do play therapy instead of just like sitting them down and being like, "So, how do you feel today?"
I think it helps kids build trust.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of my kids' friends, my friends as kids, got that right.
Yeah.
Like, I will get down on their level and I will play with them, like, whatever it might be. And I think it's helped build those, like, bonds when I come over. They're not like, who's this stranger? Like, oh, I remember she played with me.
Yeah,
Like,
yeah. So this is that just reminded me of this. When my husband and I got engaged, my youngest sister was 7. I think she was 7. So all my sisters were 12 years old and younger. And I was dating someone pretty close to dating my husband. And I broke up with him and started dating my husband. And then me and my husband got engaged very quickly after that because we'd known each other for a long time before that. I don't know why I'm justifying getting engaged quickly, but that's my story.
because I'm
So
judging you.
the point of this was when we got engaged, my sisters were like, oh, he's the one that rode bikes with us. And they were so excited that I was marrying the guy that rode bikes with them instead of the guy that didn't give them the time of day, you know,
Exactly,
because
exactly.
the other guy like didn't even really talk to them, but my husband would ride bikes with them, he'd play with them, like all that kind of stuff. And so that's what they remembered, and they were so excited that I was marrying him instead of the other guy, which everyone was excited, but that's another story for another day. And then play also helps build perspective taking. So, you know, your child is learning what others might think or feel. So, if you're playing a game with them or you're playing with dolls or Barbies or whatever, and something happens to one of the Barbies, you can be like, oh, how did that make you feel? And the kid is answering through the Barbie. So, you're not asking them a direct question. And then they're also maybe taking on that different perspective, where maybe they're having issues taking on the perspective of others. And so you're working with the Barbies to take on that different perspective instead of just being like, this is what it means to take the perspective of other people. Yeah. And then it also helps with problem solving and flexibility. So when things don't go as planned, play teaches how to adapt. So once again, if you're playing Barbies and you can orchestrate an issue where something doesn't go as planned and then ask your kid, oh no, what are we going to do? And they can problem solve that way. Emotional expression and communication are also affected, so they can act out their feelings, once again, not as themselves, but acting it out as something else. And then I think that play does a really good job of helping parents see your kids' strengths and not just focusing on their deficits.
absolutely.
So you can really see where your kid shines because it's so easy, especially if your kid is in therapy, like different therapies, to focus on the things that maybe they need to improve on and not focusing on their strengths. So, because that's what therapists ask you. Like I ask in my questionnaire for music therapy, I say, what are your kids' strengths? And they're like, thank you for asking that because nobody ever asks what their strengths are. They only ask what their like deficits
Weaknesses or
are.
what they struggle with.
And so I just think it's super important to focus on their strengths and then also focus on where they need to improve and help with that. But you can really see where your kids shine
Yeah.
in during play.
That's what you like incorporate their strengths into helping learn the deficits.
So these are some ways that parents can connect through play. I know that sometimes it can be kind of hard to maybe join your kid's world and enter their world the way that they want you to enter. And I think, who was it? Jennifer Briggs, who was on the podcast in October, she did a really good job of entering her child's world where she followed her kid's lead. She didn't script, use her own script. She didn't direct her kid what to do. She just entered her world the way that she wanted her to. So she gave the example of her daughter was on the stairs, just going up and down the stairs. Well, you could see that as a repetitive action, something that needs to be stopped. That's what a lot of people used to say. That needs to be stopped. She's not doing anything productive. We need to stop that. But instead, Jennifer went over and started going up and down the stairs with her. And her daughter got so happy and was smiling and laughing. And I just think that's really important that you don't demand your children play the way that you want to play. You play how they want to play and enter their world the way that they need you to.
You have to give up control a little bit.
So there is this one kid that I work with doing music therapy. And when I first started working with him, he did not want to give me the time of day. Actually, our first session went really, really well. And then after that, he wanted to do everything that we did in the first session that took 45 minutes. He wanted to do all of that in 10 minutes. And then after those 10 minutes were over, he just wanted to do his own thing. And so his parents would be like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. He's not paying attention. He's not paying attention." But he was playing with these cars. And I'm like, "No worries. I'm just going to enter his world how he wants me to enter it." And I went over and played with the cars with him. And I didn't demand his attention. I just played with the cars myself. And I would like hum songs or sing songs. And then slowly but surely, he started joining me. And now he can do a half hour session. I let him pick things, I pick things, but he can do a half hour session. And he's with me the whole time. In fact, last time I went, he's no, because he doesn't have a lot of words, but he can talk. And he was like, "No goodbye, no goodbye." And
Oh.
it was just really awesome because not that long ago, he couldn't even last 15 minutes, you
Yeah,
know?
and like didn't really want to.
Yeah, and he didn't want to. And now he's like looking for that engagement with me, where before I was having to enter his world. But it's because, like you said before, I gained his trust. I gained rapport with him. I entered on his level. And even now, if he doesn't want to engage in what I'm doing with him, I don't force him to do that. I'm like, "Oh, you can say no, thank you." And then we end that activity. I don't force him to do what I want him to do. But yeah, how I did that was the next thing on the list that we have is to imitate and expand. So he was playing with cars. I went over, I started playing with the cars, and then I added dialogue while playing with the cars. Be like, "Oh, they're racing each other," or "This one has to park," or "This one's gonna go up the hill." And I would say things like that, or I'd sing different songs, and then he would join me in doing those things, or he would tell me no. He did that a lot. He's just like, "No, thank you." But yeah. And the next thing we have is to create safe, predictable play routines for kids who crave structure. So you can repeat favorite themes, songs, or characters. Like when I work with this kid, every single time I go to his house, we do the hello song, then we do drumming, the same song, and then we do a movement song. And we're working on communication, and by doing those things, he is expanding his communication. Where with the movement song, I would ask him what he wanted to do next as a movement. I'm like, "Do you want to jump? Do you want to skip? What do you want to do?" And he would just say, "Ready, set, go. Ready, set, go." Now he tells me what he wants to do. I'm like, "Well, what do you want to do? Do you want to jump or skip?" And he'll pick one. And so we're working on answering questions, but we do the same exact thing every single time I go. But he needs that structure to feel safe to learn new things. And then the next one is to use pretend play to model emotions and coping. I also do this one a lot with with my clients. We actually have little dinosaur blocks that I use, and we like play with the dinosaurs, and then I'll be like, "Oh no, he's so frustrated. What can he do to calm down?" And they'll be like, "He needs to take deep breaths, or he needs to go for a walk, or whatever." But once again, we're using toys to model emotional regulation and coping rather than being like, what can you do to, you
Takes the
know,
pressure off.
it takes the pressure off of them. Yeah. And then highlight, like always, connection over correction. Like we've said before, play builds trust, it builds teachability, it helps increase frustration tolerance, all of that. And then I want to talk a little bit about ABA and other therapies. If your child is an ABA or other therapies, I know there's different kinds of approaches, but I would look for play-based approaches. It looks like natural environment teaching, reinforcing connection and curiosity, not forcing them to do what you want them to do, not forcing rigid compliance models, but really
Table
natural
based.
reinforce. Yeah, don't go to table-based drills. That's so 90s and not productive. Get out of the 90s. Yeah, so instead of just, I remember when I was first taught how to do behavioral therapy, they had me sit this kid in a chair and say, go over scripts. Like, what's your name? How are you doing? How are you feeling? And he would say specific things. And then I would hand him a food reward for answering correctly. No, we're not doing that anymore. And if your ABA company is doing that, stop working with them. So the new way of doing it is maybe using your child's favorite toy and being like, hi, how are you today? And if you want to teach those things, like social norms, you can teach them through playing.
Social norms.
Yeah. Just if you're playing with a favorite toy. So, for example, this is really funny because I work with this girl and she'll have like puppets and she'll be like, hi, how are you today? Or hi, what's your name? And then I'll answer for the puppet and she'll look at me and be like, I wasn't talking to you, Miss Sam. I was talking to the puppet. And so she like has her own conversation, like going back and forth, or she always wants to play with my ukulele, but she calls it Mr. Ukulele. And if I answer for Mr. Ukulele, she'd be like, I am not talking to you. I am talking to Mr. Ukulele. And so my job is just to hold the things while she interacts with them. That's totally fine. She is still accomplishing what we're trying to accomplish. It just might look a little different than things that we've done in the past. So that is my soapbox. I will now get off my soapbox. But if you're in an ABA program or music therapy or occupational therapy and they emphasize compliance over connection and compliance over play, get out. I'm saying that right now. Just get out. That is all. I will stop now. But do remember, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to say this. The most effective therapy doesn't look like therapy. It feels like play. So, if your
Yeah.
child, my goal in music therapy is to make the child or help the child feel like they're not in therapy. I want them to feel like I just came to play with them.
I want to see an interaction and not think, oh, they're doing therapy.
Yeah. So, parents actually get really frustrated with me because they're like, you're not doing anything, you're just playing with them. And I say, yeah. Because they're
That's how they
kids.
learn.
That's how they learn. I don't say it. I don't say it in that voice.
Obviously,
I
you're a
just said,
professional.
I'm a professional, but I'm like, yeah, this is how kids learn. They learn through play. And so my goal as a therapist is to help them learn through play and make it not feel like they are in a therapy session, but I just come to play with them. And they're like, oh. And then they understand what I'm doing, but some parents get really frustrated because they're like, you're not doing anything, you're just playing with them. Why am I paying you to be here? But yeah, so if you think your therapist isn't doing anything and they're just playing, they're doing their job really well. Just remember that. I am very opinionated on these things. I've just
Very
seen,
passionate.
yeah, well, I've just seen the compliance-based model, and I am not a fan. The kids don't learn anything. Half the time, you're fighting them just to even
And they
come to
don't
the
trust
table.
you.
Yeah, and then they don't
Trust you.
trust you. They don't want you to come. And then the parents get frustrated because then they have like maladaptive behavior before you come and after you leave. And it's just a mess.
Yeah, but who wants
So,
that?
yeah, no one. Nobody wants that.
I don't want that. I don't want that for
Yeah.
anybody.
Yeah. But if you're looking for ways to bring play into your daily activities and daily routines, we have some suggestions for you. And the first one is to turn chores into games or songs. So this was my favorite phase that my kids went through. They were superheroes and they were looking for things to do. And so they were looking for people to help. And they would come up to me and they're like, "Mom, this person needs help. What do they need help with?" I'm like, "They need help cleaning up the bedroom floor." And they're like, "Okay." And they would run and clean up their bedroom floor and then come back and say, "Well, who needs help next?" I'm like, "This person needs help unloading the dishwasher." And they're like, "Okay." And so just turning like that into a game, like they dressed up in their superhero costume and they were being superheroes and
I
cleaning up my
love
house. Or we were playing airplane. My kids love playing airplane and they're like, "What needs to be done on the airplane so we can take off?" And I'm like, "The baseboards need cleaned." And they're like, "Okay." And they like start cleaning the baseboards. But yeah, so there's that. You can also use puppets or toys to model social situations like we've talked about. And then you can play emotion charades, where I've done this with my kids, where you like mimic an emotion and other people have to guess what emotion you're displaying. My kids think that's hilarious because they'll get like a really obscure one and they'll look really happy, but it's like ecstatic, or that's not obscure, but you know what I mean, like not something that
Yeah.
you would really think about. So you can do that. And then just remember, when you're playing, the goal is connection, not perfection. I don't know how you can have perfect play skills, but you shouldn't have like a goal of, "Oh, we're gonna accomplish this while playing." You can work on different things, but if your kid doesn't do exactly what you want, that's totally okay. And be silly. It's
Yeah.
okay to be silly. And
Okay to play.
it's okay to
An
play.
adult.
Yeah. Even if you don't have kids, which I don't know
I
why you'd
play
be
all the
listening.
time.
I don't know why you'd be listening to this podcast if you don't have kids or don't work with kids, but there you go. So, yeah, just remember that pretend play builds emotional and social understanding, and you can use play to connect, teach, and co-regulate. And therapy is most effective when rooted in play, and it doesn't look like therapy. So, here are some questions that you can ask yourselves this week. What kind of play does your child love most? And how can you join their world without an agenda? So just think about those things. And yeah, any parting words, Lauren?
Just go have fun. Have fun with your kids and build connections, and then you'll find out that you've been teaching stuff along the way as an afterthought.
Yeah. The best teaching, I feel like, happens when you're not meaning to do
To
it.
teach, yeah.
Yeah. But you just have
Absolutely.
it like always in the back of your head, I think. And so you just automatically teach it.
Yeah.
But yeah. So go play with your kids. Have a good week, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope this discussion on neurodiversity has provided you with support, understanding, and inspiration. If you're looking for more support, you can go to everybrainisdifferent.com and download the ultimate guide to parenting your neurodivergent child.